You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. Boom, we gotta wait for that, the end of that music before I say anything, right? That's, at least that's the official thing.
Well, you were busy playing the drums.
Yeah, man, I tell you what. I'd love to. I'm a percussionist at heart, I think. Good morning. This is the front line.
I thought you were a Protestant.
Percussive Protestantism. It's a very unique version of the whole movement. Anyway, you've already heard from one of my venerable co-hosts. Maybe the only venerable one as far as I know. Ed Skiba. Good morning, bro.
Good morning, brother. Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Amen.
It's warmed up a little bit. A lot of dead trees out there. You notice that? A lot of trees and plants were affected by the...
And the dead grass.
By the cold. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
But, you know...
In the 20s, 28 degrees here.
God's in the business of making all things new. So
he is.
That's going to straighten out. I'd like to celebrate today. Tomorrow is 1 year ago that I died. And I'm still here.
Praise God.
I'm much better than I was before.
I can
before.
Attest to you're still here.
Praise God.
And amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe that.
I told you that he has another decade for you to serve him.
You had said that
with
to me.
And I wanted to let you know that.
Well, as you know, a month or two ago, I was to the point where I said, I don't know if I want another decade because I was still in the process of healing. Now I just can't believe the difference.
Amen. It's incredible.
Yeah. Praise God. I give him all the credit and all the glory for it.
Amen. Well, he's the only one that that did that, but I'm glad that he kept you around for a while.
Me too.
You know.
Thank you.
Me too.
Thank you.
You know. And then my other co-host, not so venerable, but working on it.
I don't even know what that means.
Just a kid.
Well, I'm a kid.
The word
looks
venerable
like a truck driver today, apparently,
often
in my hat.
Is applied to very long-aged, mature people. Ed qualifies. I don't know if I do.
I'm not there yet.
Chronologically,
I don't
want to go there you're
yet.
Not there yet. No, but
Ann, good morning, everybody.
Good to have
I want
you.
To say God today is, he still heals today.
Amen. He does.
People
he does.
Do not think he
Amen.
Heals today. Ed is a walking testimony.
Absolutely.
We've covered many people on this program who spoke of the Lord physically healing their bodies.
Oh, a lot of testimonies.
In addition to our spirit and our soul. Yep. So he's a God who heals today, and we give him all the glory.
We do. He's the only one healing comes from.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you have a very competent physician who brings his healing skills or gifts to bear and you emerge from a health situation well, but that God still is the source of the healing.
Amen.
You know,
yes.
I'm sure if your doctor listening today, it might have shocked you with that. True, but it is true. You have healing gifts, but God is one that provides the healing through you.
One of the blessings I had is my cardiologist, the interventionalist, and the regular cardiologist are all born-again Christians.
Hallelujah.
And
wow.
that's what got me through it. I know it is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I can't tell you how many nurses came and prayed for me during my recovery.
Wow.
It was wonderful.
You had a whole crew God had pulled together
absolutely.
For that.
Not to mention my church family, you and Cynthia. And
Yeah,
that you all came and supported us so well.
Well, you know, this is what we do in the family of God.
Amen.
It is. Amen.
And I love that. In fact, you know, listener, if you're listening today, a lot of things you need to be hearing. God's called you to listen today because there's a lot of things to be said. But if you're not committed, we have a lot of people who listen. They're not saved. They're not born again.
Amen.
But they're hungry for Christ, and they just don't know what to do. Well, what you do is you invite him into your heart. We're going to actually do that. Let's do that before we bring my good friend, good buddy, Jim Dodds, Reverend Jim Dodds, on the air to talk about his life and ministry. You know, because we do have people that are hungry. Let me tell you, listener, you got an emptiness in your heart that only Jesus can fill. You may or may not be aware of that, but you're listening today because you want some answers. And you didn't expect to listen to WCNO 89.9, but here you are.
Amen.
Here's the answer. Jesus is the answer. You've seen it on bumper stickers. That's not just to sell bumper stickers. It is absolutely true. And you know, God's made it so easy, if you're willing, to get saved, really.
Absolutely.
To have life in the kingdom. Today, you're going to live in the kingdom today if you pray this prayer, which we're going to lead you in. And you can then have life eternal with Jesus. There are only two spiritual planes of existence that are available to human beings. One is the kingdom of God, which you can now, again, enjoy here. And then when your body dies, your spirit will go to be with Jesus forever. And that's a wonderful deal. You can read in the Bible. I encourage you to do that to get details. The other spiritual existence is what we call hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, as the Bible, if you read it, will tell you, it's eternal separation from God, which is probably the worst torment any human being can suffer.
Amen.
Will live forever.
It's also the default.
It's also the default setting. That's right. Because you know, if you don't do anything, that's where you go. And the Bible, again, supports whatever we've been saying thus far. So I would just like, if you're listening right now, if you want a change in your life, if you want that emptiness filled, and it can only be filled by Jesus, then pray with us.
Amen.
Come before, just Lord Jesus, say these words. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. My heart is empty. My life seems meaningless. And there's a great darkness that presses on me, and I don't know what to do about it. But I'm hearing that you're what I need to do about it. I'm hearing that if I open my heart to you, if I actually invite you to come into my life today, that you will. You will not hesitate. You will come in and you will change me. Lord Jesus, I want this new life you have for me. Come into my heart today. Restore me. Transform me. Begin that process today of enabling me to be a citizen of your kingdom. And while I'm waiting for heaven, which has guaranteed me in the coming, Lord Jesus, into my heart today, show me what it's like to live in your kingdom today. I receive not just Jesus, but the benefits of living in the kingdom right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Amen.
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 You prayed that prayer? Scripture tells us that you've made a covenant with God.
David, Jesus. Why don't we just, if anybody prayed, if they want to call the station as well, if they have any questions or if they need help finding a church, it's important to get
Yes, we will help you
community.
With all of that. Yeah. You can call 772-221-1100 is the number, 772-221-1100, and our station manager is in the lobby. We'll be taking calls.
Yep.
And later on in the show, you may want to call and ask our guest questions, but he hasn't said anything yet, so you don't know what to ask him.
There are folks out there that are saying, well, if I prayed the prayer, I'm okay with Jesus. I don't need a church. Mm. I can do this. It's between me and God. Mm. Wrong. If you've ever seen a herd of sheep, the wolf always goes for the one on the outside that doesn't have any connection to any other sheep near him.
Right.
That's the one he goes after. That's what will happen to you.
Yeah.
Find yourself a church family. Mm-hmm. Get closely involved with them and let them pray for you and you pray for them, and you'll be amazed what happens in your life.
Absolutely.
And that explains why if you've been feeling greatly oppressed, it's because you are the sheep alone.
Amen.
But now you have Jesus, so... Let him take you to where his family meets.
Amen.
Amen.
The Reverend Jim Dodds.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy. I got to say, I'm delighted to have Jim with us today. And I've known Jim for several years, mm-hmm. at least since 2014.
Probably more than you're happy about.
Oh, no. It's been an ongoing journey of joy, my brother.
It has, hasn't it?
To know you, to work with you, to share with you, to fellowship with you.
Yeah.
In ministry, I met Jim in 2014. I was then working for Treasure Coast Hospice as a chaplain. In fact, Ed over here.
That's the year I retired from Treasure Coast.
That's the year
Hospice.
He retired. Yeah. It wasn't because you came, Jim. It was coincidental.
Yeah, I started to take that personally.
Yeah, that's your story.
but we were together for a little while, and Jim worked up with me. I was in St. Lucie County, And Ed was down here in Martin County.
Yeah, Martin, yeah.
Our paths did cross, but I got to know Jim, and I got to love him as a brother, and enjoyed our mutual fellowship and working on the front lines together.
Amen.
You don't think hospice ministry is front line?
Oh boy,
you've never done it. But we, so I wanted Jim to come and share his testimony, his God story, and then really move into talking about his experience as a hospice chaplain and what God is doing in hospice, always has been, and doing today. Even so, many of you think hospice, you think of the, how can I say this, less than spiritual leadership in most hospices today.
Sometimes.
Since you're still working for a hospice, I won't ask you to comment on that.
Elaborate.
But it's just it's just what's going on out there, and the world gets into the things the church started. And
amen.
The God's people are there, and we get to do God's work regardless, which I think is really cool.
Well, we all know the condition of healthcare in this country right now anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's healthcare needs healthcare.
It's infiltrated everything.
It has.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
It really has. You want to pray. If you say, I'm lacking something to pray about, Lord, if that's your prayer, add healthcare
absolutely
to your list. Well, Jim, before we get into hospice and all that, as the Lord leads us, share your God story.
Did you get Jesus? We don't have that long.
Okay.
But I am walking, talking, living proof of the transforming power of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I tell you, I was not born a chaplain.
Okay.
In fact, I came to Christ sort of late in life, in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, ran as far and as fast from God as I could go for many years. Mm. Tasted everything the world had to offer. Those things I liked, I tasted more than once.
Yeah, I hear that.
But I tell you what, I think it was because I knew myself. I grew up in a church. Parents dragged me off every Sunday. Sat in the balcony, made faces at the choir to get them to crack up, you know. When I became mobile, I took off on my own. I had a better plan, a better idea.
Mm-hmm.
And after letting me hit bottom and bounce a few times, I finally wised up. But I knew that if I ever stopped running and turned around, He was going to be right there waiting for me.
Amen.
But I also knew myself well enough to know that if I stopped and turned around and He was waiting for me, it was going to have to be 100%.
Right.
I couldn't just surrender part way.
Amen.
Mm. I was going to have to give Him everything I had. I knew I wouldn't be one of these sit in a church pew on Sunday morning and live like hell the rest of the week.
That's right.
Yeah,
So that's what happened. I won't go into the big, long story, but it was a Christmas service in Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That huge church that used live animals just made the whole thing come to life.
Wow.
But it moved me like it never had before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd gotten free tickets to this show and used them. Well, my wife insisted. She said, I credit her for most of what I've been able to accomplish. Went to that show and it just moved me. I saw the story for the first time. After that, a couple weeks later, I'm in a thrift store. I like thrift stores. Going through the books. See an old Bible. Well, it wasn't old, but I saw a Bible on the shelf, took it down. And, you know, in thrift stores, you find Bibles in one of two conditions. They're either fallen apart or they've never been opened.
Never been opened.
Amen. Yeah.
And so I'm flipping through this one, and it only had one passage in the whole Bible highlighted. And it was where Paul's talking to Timothy. And he says, I'm already being poured out as a
drink offering. Amen.
The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith.
Amen.
Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but for all who've longed for His appearing. And at that moment, God took a 2x4 and whooped me upside the head.
He loves to do that.
I read that and I said, this guy's getting ready to die. and he's okay with it.
Yep.
How does that happen? And so at that moment, God put on my heart, I wanted to know who wrote it, why he wrote it, who he wrote it to, what the circumstances were.
Right.
And that set my foot on the path to learning as much about God's word as I could. And it's been ongoing ever since.
Wow.
Amen.
But after that, he's done so many things. The key, though, I have found over the years is obedience. I have found obedience is so much better than disobedience.
The word says it's better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because God's going to take you places you wouldn't go on your own, and he'll have you do things you wouldn't do on your own.
Amen.
He took me to seminary. I didn't want to go. last thing on my radar, but I'll share this part. It was about October of sometime in the 90s, I think. And I kept having this dream. You know those little school desks you had when you were a kid where it had the flat top and you had to kind of slide in from the side?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in this dream, I'm in one of those desks, little desk, but I'm an adult. And I couldn't get out of it. I'm standing up trying to shake this desk off of my backside, and I could not get it. Oh, and it bugged me. And I would wake up in a sweat, just, man, what is up with this school desk? Around Christmas time, I hadn't shared this dream with my wife, but we had a friend down from New York. We had moved to Colorado from New York. Friend came from New York, was getting ready to go back, and the friend told my wife, said, y'all need to come back up and visit after the first of the year. And my wife said, I don't think we'll be able to. I think Jim's going to be in seminary. I'm like, what did you say?
You hadn't talked to her with her about it?
I had not discussed it with her. She was as surprised as I was when she said it, because she said, where did that come from?
Holy Spirit.
Oh, wow.
Holy Spirit.
And so sure enough, in Denver, Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary had a campus there. Mm-hmm. And so I investigated, scraped together first semester's tuition, and I started seminary.
Okay.
Of course, I'm older than anybody else there. You know, these guys are in their 20s, fresh out of college, and it was hard. It was hard. And of course, first semester, I had to choose Greek as one of my first. So it was very painful. But after that, it only took me 7 years to complete a 3-year program. I'm slow, but I'm thorough.
You must have learned twice as much.
Yeah,
then.
Every semester I would go and tell them, you know, I'd like to take these courses, but I'm broke. They'd say, it's been taken care of.
Mm.
I paid for the first semester of seminary. Never paid another dime.
Wow. Really?
Somebody else paid for my seminary. Wow. Still don't know who. God knows.
God knows. You meet him in heaven, bro.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow,
I can't
privilege.
Wait. But so did that. Of course, worked a couple of jobs during seminary to pay for the bills. But while there, I've shared this with you, David, about while I'm there, I'm more my secular career before I got saved was I was in the hospitality industry. I ran hotels and restaurants and bars and things like that. I was running a buffet restaurant in Colorado, in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. And it was very strange. The company was great. I was enjoying it. I was getting to share Jesus with my customers, and I wear the Jesus ties and everything. And I was just having a blast, making decent money. And I get a call one day out of the blue from a guy I used to work with. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm working. What do you think I'm doing? He says, I want you to come back to work for me. I don't know. I'm pretty happy here. And he says, no, I'm we're going to be opening a truck stop in Denver. and I need you to run all the food outlets. It was going to have like 3 or 4 fast food and a 24-hour restaurant. And, and he said, I need you to come run all these food outlets for me. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. He said, well, what would it take? I said, and I knew this guy. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. So I told him what it would take, thinking it would scare him off. And he said, well, pack your bags. You're going to Eloy, Arizona. I said, oh, no, I'm not.
Eloy.
Wow.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of Eloy.
Me either.
No. Halfway between Phoenix and Tucson, out in the middle of the desert.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Nothing there. They stick me up in a Motel 6. I'm looking out on the desert floor. I'm an old mountain man at heart. Looking out on the desert floor, communing with Gila monsters and rattlesnakes.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wondering what in the world God's got me into now.
Wow.
So it was an adventure. This was in April of 99. Mm. I don't know if you remember, in April of 99 was when Columbine happened.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And the restaurant I ran before I went to Eloy, Arizona, was I had to go to Eloy to train for this truck stop. But some of the kids from Columbine had worked in the restaurant there, and I wasn't sure if any of them been involved or victims or anything. So it was just heavy on my heart, and I'm out in the middle of the desert all alone. They put me in this Motel 6 at one exit, and the restaurant I'm training at, the truck stop I'm training at, is 3 miles down the road. I have no transportation.
A long walk.
Yeah. Well, they would pick me up in the morning, take me down there, and then take me back in the evening. That was it. Stay there. It was probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But I was hurting. And I was praying, God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you up to now?
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
I think we all do that. Yeah.
So I was sitting there on a Sunday morning, and Eloy, Arizona is kind of like around here when they get snowbirds, and around April they all go home. So the truck stop was kind of slow on this Sunday morning. I heard an announcement over the loudspeaker said that there was going to be a fellowship meeting for the drivers in the little lounge they have for the drivers there, the TV lounge. Mm. And so I asked the manager, I said, you mind if I hadn't been to church since I've been here. Can I go sit in on that? Sure, we're slow. And went in there, and there was these two guys from a local church. One of them playing a guitar poorly. One of them singing poorly. And then one of them, there were two truck drivers there and me. But one of the guys didn't have any flowery sermon or anything. He just got up there and shared his story. And out of those two truck drivers, one of them accepted Jesus.
Wow.
Amen. Praise God.
And there again, God took that 2x4 upside my head. He's 50% of that congregation came to the Lord that morning.
Wow.
Can you imagine if 50% of any congregation in this country came to Jesus on a Sunday morning, what that would be like?
Amen.
So he said, this is what I want you to do. I'm busy. Finally get back to Denver. Of course, they're still building this truck stop. It's a brand new place. And so I'm getting together training manuals and hiring people and training people, and I was busy. Mm-hmm. But after we got open, you know, this had always been in the back of my mind. So one of the waitresses came up to me and said, there's a guy out here asking for a chaplain. Mm. I said, well, we don't have no chaplain. Yes, you do.
Yeah. Look in the mirror.
So I said, I'll see if I can help. Went out there, and there's these two guys sitting in the booth, and this guy stands up, and he's your stereotypical truck driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me, about 6'5", 6'6", weighed probably tipped 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he stands up, and he looks down at me, and he says,
right.
Are you the chaplain? Maybe.
Who wants to know?
Yeah.
He said, where can we talk? So I had a training room that was vacant, and I took him in there. No sooner did the door shut, this great big old guy breaks down in tears.
I could hear
wow.
that coming.
Amen.
And he'd been away. He's a new truck driver, been away from home for about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. He's homesick. Doesn't get to hear anything of the word. The guy that's training him is not saved, doesn't know the Lord.
Mm.
And he's just in agony. So I just sat with him and listened to him, gave him a hug, told him everything's going to be okay, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But after that, well, first to get to that point, I told God, I said, if you want me to minister to truck drivers, I said, I don't even like truck drivers. I said, they drive too fast downhill, too slow uphill. They smell funky. They talk dirty. And I just don't want, you know.
I don't know how honest he was.
And so I said, if you want me to minister to these people, you're going to have to put a love on my heart that's just not right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And
wow.
For the next 8 years, I went out there and did church services for truck drivers every Sunday morning.
Wow.
Wow.
Had probably 4,000 men and women attend services there over 8 years.
Wow.
And of those 4,000, over 800 of them accepted Jesus as their Savior.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
But it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was just being available.
Exactly.
Being the Holy Spirit.
And
what
that's
it's about.
That's the ministry behind hospice as well. It's a ministry of presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As is so much of ministry anyway.
Amen. Amen.
It's being there, being available, and being obedient. Mm-hmm. And but like I said, he'll have you do things you wouldn't do on your own.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But because I did that, there was such a blessing in the heart. I met so many wonderful men and women over there. Yeah, I had flyers. I'd go to the truck stop early in the morning, and I'd put flyers on every truck. There were 200 parking slots out there.
Wow.
Wow.
And I've had flyers thrown at me, been spit on, drinks thrown at me. A lot of the world doesn't want to hear the truth.
Amen.
Yeah, and, for sure.
But it was such a blessing. And then God moved us again. It seemed like every time I get comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want us to be.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Every time I get comfortable, God decides to make a move. And
yep.
But it's all been such a wonderful journey. Moved us from Colorado to Virginia.
Mm.
Ran a spiritual retreat center there. Had a church on property and 100 acres of woods.
Oh,
it was
man.
Wonderful. Took us out there for a couple of years. But it was out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Wound up, he pulled me away from Virginia back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And my mom was still living there. She, I was in Virginia, and it was, again, March or April of 2009, I think. Get a call at 2:00 in the morning from my mom. I answer the phone. She says, "What are you doing?"
Sleeping?
I'm sleeping. What do you think I'm doing?
I'm answering the phone.
She said, "Well, why are you sleeping?" I said, "Well, it's mom. It's the middle of the night." Well, I had not been aware or made aware that my mom had developed dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
My sister was still living close, but my sister's spouse had just died, she had her plate full. So found out she had dementia after calling around and finding out what was going on. I know my mom at 2 in the morning. This happened to be the night you're supposed to change your clocks, which is coming up next week.
Right, yeah.
And knowing my mom, they say officially you do it at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had set her alarm, I'm sure, to change her clocks.
Yeah.
And she wanted to call me and
make sure you
make sure.
Okay.
So we wound up moving back to Tulsa to care for my aging and ailing mother.
Yeah.
And that was all these places we could go, though. God takes us there before he shows us what he wants us to do.
Yes.
Didn't know what we were going to do when we got to Tulsa. I saw an ad for a what was called CPE.
Yeah.
You guys are familiar with CPE. Clinical Pastoral Education.
Oh, okay.
It's required to be a professional chaplain in most places, and it comes in units of 400 hours a unit. And used to, the most places required over two
at least, yeah, some of them required a year.
But I saw an ad that they were going to have the CPE class, and you would get a stipend. And so until I got established in Tulsa, I said, well, I'll try that. So I applied. I'm still in Virginia at the time, planning all the move and everything. Got accepted. Happened to be at the hospital I was born in.
Oh, that's cool.
Was still standing.
It had been added on to, so it was not recognizable. But the funny thing was, the when you do on-call during CPE at the hospital, we were up where the doctor's rooms were, and we had a room up there. But it was the old maternity ward of the old part of the hospital. And I kept telling everybody that the room I slept in felt vaguely familiar. And even worse, I think it was the same mattress.
Oh, man, it was
not a comfortable situation. But
Can we stop here, Dave?
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and take that break. It's about a minute and a half. So then we'll just give you a chance to think about what you've heard thus far. Maybe you want to call and ask Jim a question, and I'm sure he'll be happy to answer those. No? Yeah, he will. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. We'll be back in a little bit. Know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Welcome back. Well, I was just going to turn on the mics here. Otherwise, we'll be yelling real loud. Make sure you can hear us. Well, we're glad to have Jim, Reverend Jim Dodds, with us. And Jim's good buddy of Ed and myself is becoming a good buddy to Ann here. And you're now part of the Wynn WCNO family.
Oh, boy.
Once you've done this, yeah, I know. There aren't too many perks, I have to tell you right up front. We're broadcasting into South Florida, which has about almost 8 million people living there. They ain't all listening right now. But maybe 200,000 or 300,000 people are listening.
Why not?
Well, we're trying to fix that, but until we do. In fact, those of you who are listening, get a neighbor involved. If you like the station, get a neighbor involved. Tell them to listen. But anyway, Jim, Ed and I met Jim when we were at hospice, Treasure Coast Hospice. That's where Jim came down in 2014 to continue his chaplaincy ministry, which God had called him to. And you know, you'll move into that, but continue your story about CPE. And there was something about a well-known figure that you dealt with?
Christmas Eve must have been 2014 or 29 or 2010. all of the chaplains in my CPE class, there was about eight of us, decided to do a Christmas program for chapel in this hospital. And so we put everything together, and we were going to do this program. Hospitals empty out as much as they can for Christmas.
Sure, sure.
Tulsa was expecting a rare blizzard that night. So we put on this program for staff, for any patients or families that are stuck in the hospital. Ended about 7 p.m. I'm going to be the chaplain on call that night. So everybody rushes home because it just started snowing, and they were expecting it to just get out of control. So I go up to this little room with the bad mattress, and I'm like, I'm thinking it's going to be a slow night. And I lay down, and they have a TV up on the wall. I put it on just for something to look at. So I'm about 12:30 in the morning. I get a call. Need to go down to the ER. That there's a family that's rather distraught. Their loved one died. So I go down there, and I open this door, and I look. And on this side of the table is an elderly lady. She is bawling her eyes out. Across from her, the other side of the table, is her daughter bawling her eyes out. There on the table, dead as a doornail, on Christmas Eve, was Santa Claus.
Oh, my.
What do you say? I'm sure my jaw visibly dropped open. And I composed myself enough to start doing a little life review. Found out this guy had been at his church that night playing Santa Claus for the children. And he was also the janitor. He locked up after everybody else had left. The blizzard had hit pretty hard by then. On his way home, he slid off the road. He was trying to dig his wheels out. Digging his wheels out, had a heart attack, and died by the side of the road. But, yeah, Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Well, that's a powerful image, brother.
It is. Yeah. And not something you soon forget.
No.
No.
Obviously.
No.
But so CPE was exciting. Learned a lot.
Yeah.
I would recommend CPE for anyone that has an opportunity to take it. It gets you so in touch with yourself.
Absolutely. That,
you do. You have to.
You have to. So after CPE, got my first job at a hospice there in Tulsa, worked for them for almost 5 years. It was called Good Shepherd Hospice. then coming here was another God move. We had a daughter in Florida, Port St. Lucie. My mom had died. Won't go into that whole long thing. But bless her heart, she was a sweetheart. But we decided, well, what's holding us here in Tulsa? Let's go to Florida. We were kind of like that back then. Yeah, sounds good. That's how we went from New York to Colorado. My wife liked John Denver music, so she wanted to see what all the hoopla was.
There you go. Whatever it takes to get you there.
So once again, I applied for places as a chaplain down here. Got a call from Treasure Coast. Got a call from V&A in Vero. Didn't really want to drive that far. Didn't know where we were going to live once we got here. Didn't see it before the day we got here. But got a call from Treasure Coast Hospice. This was in October of 13. And did a few interviews. I remember one of the chaplains that was on the interview wasn't either of you guys, but it was the oddest question I'd ever been asked in an interview. Said, "Are you afraid to drive across water?" What? And it took me by surprise, and I said, "Well, not as long as there's a bridge."
That's a perfect answer.
Good point.
Yeah. But what was it? Anyway, they hired me after a few weeks of interviews, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to be able to move down there till about January." They said, that'll work perfect. That's our next orientation class, because they were moving into Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and Christmas holidays.
Right. Right.
And so started there January 20th of 14 at Treasure Coast, and then left there in 19. Yep.
No.
And went to work for Vitas Hospital, where I am now. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
2019. Went to work for Vitas Hospice. Been there ever since. Been mm-hmm. 6.5 years now.
Mm-hmm. You're a chaplain at Vitas?
I'm a chaplain at Vitas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, it's not for everyone, but tell you what, it is something that I feel called to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be called to it because...
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
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 And they always say that... Working for the Lord here on earth may not pay much, but the retirement plan is out of this
that's
world.
Right. That's right.
Well, you do get a free trip around the sun.
Yeah,
you know, you,
yeah
it's
that's
not that,
right.
Listen, a lot of our listeners are totally clueless about hospice. They may
yeah.
have heard rumors, you know,
yeah.
about what it is. And maybe we just a little bit kind of tell people, what is hospice mm-hmm. as a, I mean, it's obviously a Medicare coverage.
It is covered by Medicare, but hospice, plain and simple, is end-of-life care.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it entails. I think in order to qualify for hospice, you have to have two doctors state that given the natural progression of whatever disease you have, it'll end your life within 6 months.
Within 6 months, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm. Now, that doesn't mean if 6 months come, you got to go.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. We don't flip a switch. No,
no. They just have to be able to show that a person is declining.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people been on service for over 2 years sometimes,
uh-huh.
and
right.
So you never know. But I have met so many wonderful people. You kind of get that sense of walking with them up to the gates
mm-hmm. yeah.
and handing them off, and
yep.
here you go.
Yeah.
So the hospice chaplain works with the families.
Families
whose
and
relative
patients.
Is, and patients who are yeah. end of life.
It is right. patients and
okay.
families. And the families are as important as the patients because mm-hmm. they're going through
yeah.
anticipatory grief
yeah.
at the time. And eventually will be going through the actual grief when their loved one goes.
Yeah.
But it is covered by Medicare. It does have requirements, but it's so much more than that. You really develop relationships sometimes that makes it a little more difficult. But
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
They
yeah.
say you're not supposed to get involved, but you can't help it. You're dealing
you
with
know,
people.
That may be okay for medical practitioners where they can have an objective look at the process and be
yeah.
able,
yeah.
But we go so much deeper than just looking at the process,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and you can't help but getting emotionally and personally involved with the folks that
yeah.
you're ministering to, and in many times they, I don't know how you feel, but in many times their families ministered to me
absolutely
in the way
absolutely.
That they accepted
yeah.
what was going on the process,
and it's incredible to me how close you get so quickly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's
well,
like,
there's a trust element there. I think
yeah.
the patient knows they need somebody to support them, and the family does, mm-hmm. and they just seem to be so much more open to trusting us almost immediately.
Well, right. and they need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're going through it, and all of these things are happening to your loved one, and you don't know why
mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
what's happening. But the beauty of hospice for me is that it treats the whole person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Got the nurses and the doctors and the aides focusing on the physical, but they yeah. will have to be able to address
sure.
emotional and spiritual.
Yeah.
You've got chaplains focusing on the spiritual, but we have to also be able to handle some of the physical and some of the emotional.
Right.
Same with our social workers. They do such
yeah.
a wonderful job of taking care of the emotional aspects, but they also bleed over into the spiritual and the physical. So
yeah.
it's a team effort, and that's
yeah.
That's how we approach it is
right.
with the team concept.
Right.
So you and that's
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're you probably led many people to the Lord. I mean, you have somebody who's dying and you don't know if this person.
Well, that's
part of your job. I mean, that's a huge part of your job.
Actually, no.
No?
That's right.
Yeah. No.
That's not part of the job, but yes, I have led many people to the Lord. The key is, since it's a Medicare reimbursed program, you've got to be careful about evangelizing, proselytizing, all of those things.
Mm. Yep.
But over the years, I've learned that if you develop proper questioning techniques, if they open the door, I can step through the door.
Exactly.
And so I don't fool around. I'll just say.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll say, what do you believe?
And
why do you believe it?
Yep.
That's good.
And if you'd be surprised, most people can't tell you what they believe or why they believe
it. Really?
No. Yeah. My favorite question was always, so what comes next?
Yeah. Well, they'll usually say,
that really opens the door. Oh, I mean, that's an opportunity.
Well, they'll usually say to me, well, I'm not sure. What do you believe?
Uh-huh.
Bingo.
Amen.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, well, the Lord has you there for that reason.
He does.
I mean, not only for that reason, a huge reason.
And it's the Spirit of God will lead you that we do know today. Now, we know that hospice really was a creation of the church. God led the churches.
Absolutely.
It was.
It's going back.
Started by a nurse and a chaplain.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In England, I think. Yeah. Wasn't it in England?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, but it was all church stuff, and it was a lot of volunteers.
Yep.
Money was raised, donations were given, so some people could have some income. But then in here in America in 1983, Medicare opened up to hospice as a benefit, as a coverage.
Yeah. Mm.
And then things slowly but inevitably began to change because back then the church lost hospice to Medicare. That's my way of looking at it.
Right.
Because now you got billions of dollars flowing. And now it becomes
a business.
Church, it becomes a business, becomes a healthcare entity.
Not much different than public education.
No, and because
that was started by the church, and then the
government took it over. Maybe the church will take it back. But the point I think I need to make is, and Jim referred to this today, hospices are generally not run by church people.
No,
not run by born again Christians, although they employ them. Various levels of the industry, but the fact is, if you have any experience with hospice as a if you're a patient, you're still in it, unless you get discharged because you weren't declining, and you will be back. but here's the thing: I want this. I think all of my fellow chaplains here will agree, is that God is in charge of providing godly people. To engage with folks at a time in their life when they really need that spiritual care.
Yes.
And if you are a hospice patient and maybe you've rejected chaplaincy and you're listening today to this program, is rethink that. Mm-hmm. Rethink that. Now, it may be the hospice you're in. Maybe there is no one of the spiritual character that you think will bless you. Mm. And maybe there isn't. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So if there's hospitals that are Christian, let's say like a Catholic hospital, you still can't talk
hospitals is not hospice.
Oh, okay.
Hospice contract beds.
That's what I meant, yeah.
But it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hospital is dedicated to curative medicine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hospice is when you cannot be cured by medical means, and it's palliative care.
Yeah.
Palliative care means comfort
and
peace and dying with dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what hospice is all about.
Yeah.
And but it's such a critical time in someone's life. It always grieved me when either I heard about people that rejected hospice, even though their family member was dying.
Yeah.
And and I would just say, and make an appeal, if you're one of those people and you're hearing me talk about you, and it's not being judgmental, because it's just fact, right? You didn't want hospice to come in either your life or your loved one's life. Rethink that. Because there are people on that interdisciplinary team that are trained and gifted just to help your loved one or you to make that journey, which is the end of your life's journey on earth, and the beginning of another journey in the spiritual realm, two realms. We talked about that in the beginning of the program. We want you to be in heaven. I want you to be in it.
Are you many times in that room when that person passes?
Yes.
That's part of your job. And you're, wow. Yeah. Wow.
You got a story you can tell about that, Jim?
That would be
wonderful. Well, I'll share my favorite hospice story.
Okay.
Yes.
In Tulsa, had a guy named Woodrow Wilson.
Mm.
Mm. Not that one.
I didn't know you were that old.
I'm not that old.
I didn't know that old.
But he went by Woody. Great guy. Woody was an Old Testament theologian.
Mm.
He was used to teach Old Testament at one of the universities there in Tulsa. He and his wife Bernadette lived in this high-rise apartment, or not apartment, but assisted living. And Woody had cancer. And I loved going to visit Woody. We had some wonderful discussions. Mm. Woody was one of these guys that his smile would just brighten up a room.
Mm-hmm.
Thing was, Woody and I were kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum when it came to theology.
Okay.
So we had some really good discussions.
Yeah. And that makes it interesting.
It was. It was fun. Well, Woody got better and had to go off hospice. So we had this big graduation ceremony for him, gave him a diploma. Go live your life. And, you know, about a year later, I went into the office on a Monday morning and got my patient list, and Woody's name was back on it.
Aww.
He and Bernadette had to move from this high-rise assisted living to a skilled facility so he could get a higher level of care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, all right, get to go see Woody again.
Mm.
So I stopped by, and Bernadette opens the door and lets me in. And by the way, I'm using names simply because they've given me permission.
I understand. Okay. Understand.
No HIPAA violations going on. But Bernadette answered the door, and I walked in, and Woody's lying in a hospital bed, and his cancer had come back with a vengeance, and he looked like a skeleton with skin on it.
Wow.
But I walked in, I walked over to him, and I said, Woody, it's Chaplain Jim. And he kind of perked up, and he turns his head, and he smiles that smile, and it was like old home week. So I pull up a chair at the head of the bed, and we sit and catch up for about an hour. I said, Woody, I've got to get busy, but I'll stop by later in the week and see how you're doing. And so that Friday on my way home, stopped to see Woody, and Woody was what we all know, he was in the dying process.
Right.
Eyes about half open, mouth about half open.
Right.
And so I get chills just telling it again.
Yeah.
But I get right up to his ear. And I go, Woody, it's Chaplain Jim. And you could almost visibly see his spirit snap back in his body. But he tried to open his eyes, couldn't quite manage it. Mm-hmm. Tried to turn his head a little to, and he couldn't talk very loud. And so I said, Woody, if you're having some pain, I can have the nurse get you something more for pain. I said, do you know what's going on? And Woody said, whispered, I'm dying.
Mm. Wow.
And I said, well, if you want something for pain, or she can get you something for the anxiety if you're a little nervous. And, and what Woody said to me has probably done more for my own faith than anything. And I still remember it. I'll never forget it. May have been his last words, because Woody went to be with the Lord the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
But he just very quietly whispered to me, he says, I've waited for this all my life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss it.
Wow. Oh, my
and
goodness.
That's heavy.
That's faith.
Wow.
That is faith.
Wow.
And I just was blown away. Are we as believers not waiting our whole life to see our Savior face to face?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
amen.
So, and he got to the next morning.
Wow.
But, praise God.
He wasn't scared. He was looking forward to it. Yeah. Wow.
Kind of like Paul
that's
in that
wrecking
Bible.
All of us in the room right now. I'm like, hey,
what's
wow.
to be scared? It's got to be better than this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What's to be scared of?
Wow.
As long as you know Jesus.
You've got to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amen.
If you don't have the Lord in your heart, some people have a concept of Jesus. That isn't enough to keep you when you are facing your own death.
Yeah.
Or really the death of someone you love, care for, whatever.
Yeah.
The same things as you're told is you're afraid. You don't know how to answer that fear.
Yeah.
You want to run away, and yet you can't. What a horrible place to be.
It is.
You know. And even today, even with the liberal progressive folks that run most hospices and their lack of interest in the spiritual, truly spiritual side of it, and the need for people to hear about Jesus, I will tell you from my personal experience as being a chaplain, Ed will agree with me, and so will Jim, that the gospel continues to be presented at the right time.
Amen.
To many, many people, patients and families, as God leads.
Yeah. God's timing is perfect. Seldom totally. Early, never late.
Yep, exactly
Can I
right.
Say something really quickly? This verse came to mind, 2 Timothy 4:7-8, and ask our listeners, like, if they're end of life, or even now, if they're not even end of life, can they say this? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Mm-hmm. I have kept the faith.
Yeah.
Can they say that? Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Mm-hmm. Like, can we all say we have fought the good fight? Like Woody.
Yep. Yeah. Like exactly. Woody. Not because we got perfect at the end,
Mm-mm.
but the perfect one, Jesus, wrapped his arms around us and took us home.
He'll make us. He'll make us perfect when the time comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to be a Christian in this world. We have to. It's a fight.
Oh boy.
Constant. So I wish we had more time to.
Well, we have like
go through this.
Yeah. We have a little over 2 minutes. A little over 2 minutes, which isn't much. And but I really have enjoyed you being with us, Jim. And,
it's
been a pleasure.
Like old home week.
Yeah, really.
Down the road, I know they'll finally let you retire. And then I think I'd like to have you back because there's so much more to talk about. This particular area of ministry is still by and large unknown by the people that need to know about it the most. Not those necessarily called to hospice chaplaincy, although God is always issuing that call. But for people who are in great need of having a deeper understanding of this part of life, which is death and dying.
Yeah.
And there's a spiritual dimension that becomes so much more acute in that when that process begins.
Yeah. I've always said that dying is more a spiritual process than a physical one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's an interlude.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
That's just an interlude.
It's an interlude. And you could take the fear out of it, at least much of the fear out of it by getting
Try
to know
to.
More. Try to. Well, and that's a part of what our jobs were, I guess. Yeah.
But a lot of people at the end of life see Jesus already.
Yeah.
Woody could have already seen Jesus before
he
physically passed.
Have visions of angels in their room.
Yeah.
My dad pointed, said, Jesus at the foot of my bed.
Really?
Right before he died. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
praise God.
I hope we've whetted your appetite, listener, and for a lot of things. Maybe God is calling you to hospice chaplaincy, or maybe you're in another discipline that hospice uses, and you're considering that, and you're a believer.
Hospice does use volunteers, too, to
that's
go
true.
And sit with people.
Yes. Spiritual care
that's
volunteers.
True.
And they could sure use believers in that.
Yeah, those are the hardest ones are the ones that have to die alone.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, my
that's my
it's,
point.
Yep. It's a goal of hospice that
I
no one dies
think
alone.
Of that. Wow.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah.
Well, I would just I guess the other thing is again, I hope we've helped do some information, some informing here on the air for you, especially if you're looking at hospice for yourself.
Yeah.
Or you're a family member with a loved one who has a terminal disease and is eligible for hospice, and you're really trying to pray or figure out what to do about that. It's definitely a holy decision.
It is. I only got to scratch the surface, but I urge you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's more surface we're going to scratch later,
okay.
Jim, because you're going to come back. God bless you all.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. We'll be with you next week. Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.